Tuned to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 84, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin and a proud member of the Comic Book Podcast Network. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the show, and especially if you're a newcomer to the show, because, of course, you know, we can't go on without new people coming on board. You know, the people come, people go. And of course, we always like to hear from new people. And you know, we had a really nice plug last week from Manuel Carmona, who co-hosted last week. If you're here because of the plug over on the Truthful Comics blog, welcome along. And of course, feel free to contact us if you want. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And we hope you'll enjoy the show, even though Manuel is not here this week. Oh, he'll be back eventually. Don't worry about that. I'm sure that he'll be back. It was a lot of fun to have a new voice on the show, and I always like hearing from listeners, and I always like to interact with you. We do also have a Facebook group, and if you want to join us there, please feel free to do so. We're the only group called Radio Free Asgard on Facebook, so feel free to join us over there and join our conversation. It gets quiet occasionally over there, so it's always good to have more people involved. Anyway, so we're going to be picking up right where we left off last episode, and the reason for that is because I'm a couple months behind on Thor, God of Thunder. What I would like to do as I go forward is to cover these as they come out. So we'll have, you know, about one show a month where we cover the new issue of Thor, God of Thunder, and then the rest of the time we'll cover other stuff. But because number two is already out, and I think number three is almost out too, I think I'm that far behind, that we will be actually covering Thor, God of Thunder, number two today. And I really don't have anything else as far as like news or shout-outs or anything else like that. Now, this episode is due to go out on December 20th, which means that we're not going to have another episode before the Christmas holidays. So to everybody who celebrated Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah. And to those of you who celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. And I will see you, of course, after the Christmas holiday before New Year's. So I'm not going to take a week off. Yeah, it's funny how some podcasts will take that week off. I don't see the point of that. Maybe that's just because I'm not much of a holiday person anyway. But anyway, those of you who celebrate, you know, the solstice and so forth, well, I include you in my holiday greeting. And of course, I just say, you know, happy holidays to everybody out there, regardless of what holiday that you're celebrating or don't celebrate, as the case may be. And I would say have a happy new year, except we are going to be back before the new year. So I'll say that next week. And if you happen to be one of the two or three people that actually listened to the show over on 1000 Mics, all I can say is, well, I hope you had a good holiday 6 months ago. All right, now that I've said all that, well, let's just move right on to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold
And as I just mentioned, we are going to be beholding in breathless wonder Thor, God of Thunder, number two. Cover date on this puppy is January of 2013, so you know it's fresh off the press. Retail for $3.99. Cover art is by Isad Rebic, and it's colored by Ive Svortsina. Never heard of that gentleman before, or the woman, or whoever that is. I really honestly don't know. And it shows Thor, and he's kind of crouched down with an axe in his hand. We're looking at young Thor, because you remember we have this sort of multi-tiered Thor comic here, where we have the adventures of Thor, you know, back in the 9th century. You have the adventures of Thor in the present day, where he's playing superhero and is a member of the Avengers and all that. And then we have the ancient future Thor, who has, you know, one of the Destroyer's arms and is battling these monsters in the future. Anyway, the cover shows young Thor, and he is kneeling on the ground, and he's got a big axe in his hand. And it occurs to me, you know, last issue, and I don't know if I mentioned or not, that, you know, he doesn't have Mjolnir yet. Though that's something that happened when he was pretty young as far as the comic book continuity, at least the classic Marvel continuity. And like I said, you know, this is Marvel's answers to the New 52, so the continuity is probably a little bit different. And I suspect that we're going to be seeing some differences in how the character of Thor, and probably the other Marvel characters too, are handled, being the somewhat of a reboot. But anyway, we have young Thor, and he's crouching down on the ground holding an axe. We see the Viking ship in the background, and we have sort of a ghostly image of old Thor in the background. This looks like it's probably going to fit into a puzzle cover, you know, one of these covers that, you know, it joins together to make a bigger picture. And we also see behind him the face of this, apparently this evil guy who's going to be fighting this issue, though it doesn't look like anything we've seen so far yet. And we open up to the splash page where, of course, we have the credits. Jason Aaron was the writer. Isad Rebic was the interior artist. Daniel Acuna did the variant cover, which we don't have here. Joe Serino was the letterer. Jake Thomas was the assistant editor. Lauren Sankovich was the editor. Axel Alonso was the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada was the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher, and Alan Fine is the executive producer. I still don't like that. It does not make any sense.
Oh, I'm the executive producer. I'm Alan Fine. Oh, yes.
So anyway, we are on the splash page, and we kind of get a little bit of a recap of what the series is all about, and we get the, you know, the young Thor and the mature Thor and the old Thor right here on the splash page. Actually, I'm not going to talk about the text page in the review because that wouldn't make a lot of sense, but in this issue, there actually is a sort of a mini little interview with Jason Aaron, the writer, and it does appear as though this triple-tiered Thor is going to be a stable part of the series. Now, I'm glad to see that issue number 2 doesn't have the same structure as issue number 1, where you have these three equal chapters showing, you know, young Thor, and then middle Thor, and then old Thor. We actually do have a little bit more mixing up here, and in the text feature, he was saying how you're not going to see all three of the aspects in every issue, and I think that makes okay sense. I kind of like this idea of having different stories from different parts of Thor's history, and of course, if they happen to overlap, well, you know, that's okay. And it makes sense in a way, and I was thinking about this in between last episode and this episode, because you have a lot of things that you can hold in common, maybe not as much as this particular story, where you have the same antagonist in all three of these Thor's existences. But you can certainly have some interconnectivity between the themes of Thor's adventures. Maybe he'll be fighting the Absorbing Man or the Wrecker in the present day, but maybe this will remind him of something. Maybe an adventure that he had in the distant past. Or in the case of ancient Thor, it could be something that it's reminding him of something that he did in the current day. I guess that's a little bit confusing, but you know, it's a sliding time scale. So you could kind of do however you want it to interconnect. Now, you know, I think that we remember, you know, if you go back to the 1960s, the way that Lee and Kirby dealt with this sort of thing was they did the Tales of Asgard stories. These were sort of, they were standalone to a certain extent, but a lot of them showed Thor's early life, when he was a little kid and when he was a teenager. You know, they were not in the same timeline necessarily as the current stories, though maybe they touched on it now and then. You know, that's the sort of thing. Now, the one drawback that I can see with telling a story in this fashion, though I think it's an interesting storytelling technique, is that it does lower the stakes. The mere existence of ancient Thor tells us that, you know, Thor is going to prevail either in the Viking Age or in the present day. You know, he's not going to be destroyed. You know, so the stakes are by necessity lowered for those two eras. I'm not quite sure if that's a smart idea, and that's one of the reasons why I was saying last episode that I hope that they don't continue that, you know, for maybe more than a story or two, because the stakes aren't going to be high enough for a lot of the time. we know that ancient Thor is going to exist. Now, we don't know how he lost his eye or how he lost his arm or you know, why he grew a big Odin-like beard. You know, we don't... I mean, Odin forbid that they should actually introduce a real ancient Thor. So jump ahead another couple thousand years and have decrepit Thor. You know, you really don't know how this will all pan out. That's maybe two or three stories at the most, you know, that you could really get out of that. And so I really have mixed feelings about it. And it's going to just depend on how well Jason Aaron or whoever is writing the book at that point. Because, you know, people nowadays, they're not going to stay on this book for 100 issues. They just don't have that staying power unless you're Brian fucking Bendis, who can't write worth shit. And that's unfortunate. But hopefully Jason Aaron will stick around for a while. And this is really, in my mind, really the test is going to tell us just how great a writer he is. And if you can pull it off, then fantastic, and hopefully it's something that we're all going to really enjoy covering. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful. Anyway, we have a title for the story. It's called The God Butcher, Part 2 of 5. So yeah, so the story has a name. This episode is called Blood in the Clouds. So we start in the Great Hall of Asgard many, many years ago, and we have young Thor, and he's trying to lift Mjolnir. And this is an immediate departure right here from established Marvel continuity. If you remember back in the Lee Kirby era, we had Thor as a very young boy, maybe 8 or 9 years old, who was able to almost lift the hammer. He could at least make the hammer budge. But we open up here and we have adult Thor, though he's young Thor at this point, trying to lift Mjolnir and unable absolutely to make it move at all. He cannot move it from its stand. And we have a little bit of narration here. Forged by the dwarves from the mystic Uru metal. See, they got it right this time. In fires that would melt the sun, which is made of plasma, so it can't actually melt because plasma does not melt. Anyway. Laden with enchantments by the All-Father himself. Able to shatter whole planets as easily as pebbles. It is the most powerful weapon in all the 9 realms. But only the worthy can lift it. I have wrestled dragons with my bare hands, slain wolves the size of longboats. I have fought in more battles than most gods, twice my age. So tell me, how much more worthy must I be? And Thor's really angry because he can't move the hammer at all. Says, "Arrgh! Move, you blasted chunk of metal! Gah! By the bristling beard of Odin, you are one stubborn hammer. Someday, Mjolnir, someday you'll be mine. And on that blessed morn, when I finally bestride the heavens, hammer in hand, woe be unto the enemies of Thor." And we just cut to future Thor, but just for a couple panels, just to remind the reader what's going on with him. And then we don't see him again in this issue, which is interesting. This is an interesting device. And we have future Thor, and he's fighting against the shadow demons. Remember, we saw last issue where he was just facing this huge army of these shadow watchdogs of Gore the God Killer, whatever his name was. And so we have old Thor, and he's going, "Hurrarg!" and "Arrgh!" and he's swinging his hammer around and smashing at these things. And then all of a sudden, we're back in 893 AD in the Baltic Sea. And we see, as in last issue, we have Thor, and he's leading a band of Vikings, and they're in the Baltic Sea, apparently sailing towards Russia, and they're going through a heavy mist. Of course, in the mist, you know, they're going to have trouble moving, I guess. You know, in the fog, often the wind is not very strong, and Thor's like, "Faster, you dogs! There'll be nothing left worth pillaging by the time we get there." "You heard your god of thunder? Are you not Norsemen? Then why do you row like land-loving Saxons? Row like Vikings, or be damned, the lot of you. Row for death and glory. Row for Thor." And the captain turns to Thor, says, "My lord, the fog grows thicker. Perhaps we should slow our pace, or else risk running aground." "I have sailed through tempests of fire in the burning land of Muspelheim, and endless hurricanes of ice in frozen Niflheim. No mere fog of Midgard will slow the son of Odin. Calm your fears, man of the north. You have the eyes of a god to guide you." And so they're continuing on. And there's a sort of a shadowy figure looming in the background. And one of the soldiers sees it. One of the Vikings sees it. Says, "There's something in the mist. A figure walking upon the water as if it were dry land." "Jesus, is that you?" "Stop your blubbering nonsense, you drunken fool. Get down and get back to..." "I saw its face." It was not the face of a man. And we get an image here of the Alice Cooper dead god that we saw last issue. And Thor is kind of looking after it, and he's like, "Cease your chattering. You are not children to be spooked by mermaids. You are Vikings. You are the ones feared along every coast of Midgard. Now go back to your rowing, or you will have my axe Yarnbjorn to answer to." And he turns to the captains. "Tell them to go slower until the fog passes." "Yes, my lord. But you said..." "I know what I said. Just do it." And so they go on through the fog. And we do see the shadowy figure now. And he's walking on the water, kind of shadowing the ships. And this is the first time we're seeing the bad guy here, this Gore, the God Slayer, whatever his name is. He's like, "I smell God flesh. Lead away, little godling. Lead me to your kind." And we see that he's wearing a thong, which is very unbecoming. We then shift scenes to 3 days later along the banks of the Neva River in what will someday be called Russia. And Thor and the Vikings are facing off against the Russian army. Or I guess I should rather say a Russian army, since there really is no Russia yet. And the Vikings are like, "We can wait no longer. My men hunger for death and plunder. Let the battle begin." And Thor stopping him. "No. I did not cross an ocean merely to face a bunch of Slavs with spears. Thor was told there would be gods here." And Thor yells out to the Russian, "Rivermen, where are the gods you swore would protect you? Call them down and pray that they give Thor a decent fight. Our gods will be here soon enough, Norse swine, and they will steal that wagging tongue of yours. Luke Natasha is moose and squirrel. When Pyrrhon the Stormlord and Chernobog the Black come flying in on their great winged stallions, golden axes in hand, thunderbolts flying, you will sing a different, 'Here they come!'" And they see something approaching in the mist. It's like, "Lord Pyrrhon, is it him? Wait, I don't see." That is your god," says one of the Vikings. And it's a winged horse, a white stallion. And he's kind of swooping down. We see that he's spattered with blood. And the Vikings are laughing at it. "Behold the bloody horse of doom, defender of the Slavs." And the Russians are, "That is Perun's steed, but where is our great god?" And the horse comes to Thor, who grabs the reins of it. And the Viking commander is asking Thor, Thor, it would appear their gods haven't the nerve to face you. Might we have your leave too?" And Thor just said, "You know, just do what you want." I guess he means by that slaughter all the Russians. We see, actually, Thor, he jumps on the back of this flying horse and takes off into the sky. And he tells them to save a cask of ale for him. And you see the Vikings now charging against the Russians. And Thor is flying above the clouds on this white flying horse. And he's noticed that the clouds are dripping blood, god blood, and realizes that immortals have died in the skies today. And he comes across another winged horse. This one is a black winged horse. And it just barrels on past him, and he sees that there's a god astride it, but the god is missing its head. So that's where, I guess, the blood's coming from out of the sky. And Thor's like, "Chernobog the Black, I presume. A bloody riderless horse and a headless god. Someone has ruined my fun for this day." Because, of course, that's what's really important, right? So Thor's having fun. "The gods of the Slavs could have done this to themselves, I suppose. Fought each other over Odin knows what. I once saw two gods slay one another in an argument over the day of the week. But that would not explain the nagging feeling in the back of my skull. The one that I've had since seeing the dead god's face in the waters of Iceland. I imagine it's the same feeling that the boar gets when the great horn sounds, and the warriors rush into the trees, the moment right before the spears go flying, when the beast first realizes it's being hunted." And we see that Thor is being stalked, and there's this creature. He looks a lot, actually, like the Spectre from DC, at least in this picture. And he's this guy that we saw walking on the water previously. He's got almost no clothes. He's got this sort of weird thong thing that he's wearing. And he has this like black energy that is surrounding him. And it looks like it's like running across his skin. And this black energy is kind of like a black liquid. Forms into the shape of a sword. And he strikes at Thor. And he just narrowly misses him, but he actually strikes the head and the front legs off of the horse that he's riding. with a shink. Of course, flying horses can't fly if they don't have a head or legs. So it starts to fall. And we have this this guy say, "Feel the little Lord of Heaven, that sense of helplessness as you fall. That is how it feels to be mortal. Next, you will learn how it feels to be butchered." And we now see the face of this this God killer dude. And he has a weird sort of Jim Starlin-ish looking face. You know why I say that? It's because Jim Starlin has this knack, especially on his villains, to have no nose. You know, it's like Mongol is the one he created. And also, you know, the villain from, I forget his name now, the villain from Dreadstar. You remember that series, that old series? Yeah, it's a very Jim Starlin-ish looking face. And he has this sort of weird shadow thong thing that he wears, which is weird because you can see on the next page after this, the second page following, that he's got nothing under it. He's smooth like a Ken doll. So maybe that's why he's killing the gods. Maybe he's just jealous of their junk. So anyway, this is the first time that Thor has confronted this guy, and we actually get to see what he looks like. So that's interesting there. Anyway, with the horse having had its head cut off and is falling, well, Thor is also falling. And remember, at this point, he doesn't have Mjolnir, so he doesn't really have any way to fly. So he's kind of in this free fall, but he manages to land on the black-winged horse, the one that Chernabog had been riding. And, of course, Chernabog's headless body is still on. And Thor goes landing on the horse's neck, and it's like, "Ree!" And he knocks off Chernabog's body behind, and he's taking off after this guy. And he's going, "Hya!" like a Western character. And he's going after this Gore dude. And Gore dude's like, "Ah, fighter. I do so love the fighters. You'd be surprised how many gods die like frightened children."
"The name is Thor, Cloudstalker, of Asgard, a warrior born, and the last god you will ever see."
"Asgardian, eh? I believe you will be my first of those, but fret not over being lonely. Your entire pantheon will join you by the time I'm through."
And he goes attacking Thor with the shadow stuff coming out of his hand. It's like this big rapier in one hand and kind of a scimitar thing on the other hand. And he's fighting with his axe, hand to hand. And a little bit of narration here from Thor. "As I gaze into the face of this killer of gods, I cannot help but be reminded of a time many years ago, of another set of cold black eyes, of a mad god in a pit, of the day I learned the difference between war and murder." And while this fight is going on, I'll just basically tell you what is going on in here. So we have Thor, and he's having this airborne battle with this Gore character. And at one point he, you know, smashes a spear into this guy's side, and the guy's all bloody, and he's slashing at him. And basically they're just fighting back and forth. And you see that he has this, the face is actually, on this page, it's a lot closer to like somebody like Voldemort. In fact, it's a whole lot like Voldemort in a lot of ways. And he's got these big sharp teeth, and he's got four fingers, and yeah, basically he's this monstrous looking dude, and he's got this oozy black stuff that shoots off of him, which is turns into weapons, and sometimes it's like these little winged creatures that go ripping at Thor and all this. But while this fight is going on, we have this inner monologue going from Thor, which has absolutely nothing to do with this fight. I'm fascinated by this as a storytelling technique, because the narration really doesn't have a lot to do. I mean, it does have something to do with what's going on. At least thematically it does. But it doesn't match what's going on, if you know what I mean. So anyway, this is the sort of internal monologue is doing. "I was just a boy when a god named Dagger went on a wanton killing spree all across the Nine Realms. He'd slain hundreds by the time they caught him and tossed him in a pit in Asgard to await his fate. In confusion, I went to Odin. Though I was barely able to walk, I had already seen my father slay thousands, invading trolls, warring giants, whole armies. He would come home drenched in their blood, and songs would be sung of his greatness. That was war, my father told me, and war was something very different from what Dagger had done. He said even the greatest of warriors never relished the killing stroke.
To do so was to lose oneself to bloodlust, to become a monster. But still I was confused. So late one night, I snuck from my bedchamber and crept through the empty halls of Asgard, and I went to see the mad god in the pit. I only wanted to see his face, to see for myself how the eyes of a murderer were different than those of my father. I gazed down into the pit, straining for a view. Next thing I knew, my footing had slipped, and I was tumbling down into darkness. I saw his eyes, all right, but they weren't wild like I expected. They were calm and frighteningly serene. I made ready to defend myself, to bite into his face with what few teeth I had, but all he did was talk, in a delicate voice, about what he had done, about who he'd done it to and why. The why I struggled to understand, but he spoke with such passion, such remarkable conviction, that it seemed more my failing than his. He'd killed children no bigger than me, he said, babies even, but the god in the pit never laid a hand on me. And yet the way he looked at you, so coldly through the darkness, made you feel almost as if you were already dead. I was in the pit for 5 hours before somebody found me. The next day the murderous god died beneath Odin's blade. He never begged for mercy, never for a second showed a bit of remorse. His severed head was still smiling, still full of pride for what he'd managed to accomplish. Odin and the others dismissed him as mad, but only I knew the truth. That what he truly was something far more frightening. So while this inner monologue is going on, like I said, there's this whole battle going on in the air, and we have this Gore, the God Slayer, and he has his knives and shadow stuff shooting off of him and slashing at Thor. And Thor's getting in his licks too, and he's slashing at him with his axe as they're fighting in the air. You can see that Gore has been cut by Thor's axe, etc. And finally, he just kind of throws Thor, just pitches him, and it goes past the black horse, and Gore has a really tight grip on Thor, and he's flying down towards the ground, and, you know, it looks like he's actually kind of got the upper hand at this point. Thor is struggling around, but this guy, Gore, is obviously very, very powerful, and even on a power that equals gods or even defeats gods. Obviously, if he's killed a lot of gods, then obviously he's stronger than a lot of them. And now we actually have a little bit of monologuing here from Gore. He says, "You've used to fighting things that shiver before you and gawk in awe at your greatness. Aren't you God of Asgard? Not someone who dares meet your divine gaze, let alone glare back. With complete and utter contempt for all that you are." And he manages at that point to disarm Thor. He drops his axe. "I am used to fighting warriors," says Thor, "and you are most definitely not that butcher of gods. I have seen your like before."
No, I don't believe you have." And he kicks Thor, sends him flying. Thor's falling again, and then the guy swoops back. I guess he's just able to fly, like Superman fly. Skewering Thor with this black sword of his, and it looks like he stabbed him right through with it, and he's carrying him higher and higher in the sky, and he's talking to Thor here. "I cannot help but wonder, little god, to the poor damned fools below us who worship you, what are you the god of? Axes? Drunkenness? Vanity? Or war, perhaps? I have killed so very many gods of war. And gods of fear, gods of chaos, gods of blood and wrath and jealousy and lies, of plagues and earthquakes, genocide and revenge, of degradation of death, very few gods of poetry and flowers, though I killed those just the same. Tell me now, Prince of Asgard, before all you're able to do is whimper and scream, what was Thor the god of before he died?"
And Thor just gives him this look, and he says, "Thunder." And the next page is a huge lightning bolt strikes this guy. Giant crack-coom! Strikes this guy just dead on and throws him back. The two of them go plummeting out of the sky. And then we get a two-panel flash of Thor of the present. This is kind of like the bookend of what we had earlier in the issue, where we just had two panels of future Thor. Now, we have a little bit more than two panels here, but we just have a really brief scene here. And Thor, in the present, remember, he's on the planet of Indigar, and he's discovered all the dead gods there.
So we have Thor, and he takes his hammer. He's holding the hammer back, and there's lightning coming off of it. And he's like, "Grog!" And he strikes the floor with the hammer and finally is able to dispatch the demon that had attacked him. So he's destroyed this watchdog thing that he was fighting. And we get a little bit of narration here, and Thor is victorious, and there's this kind of fire going on where this shadow thing was. And they get a little narration here. "It takes hours, but the servant of the god Butcher finally falls. To make constructs such as this, his power must have grown considerably in the time since last we fought. But I expect he will still be easy enough to find. I will follow the trail of dead gods." And he's got a torch in his hand. He's looking at all these dead gods laying around. And he says out loud to all the corpses that are rotting here, "I knew you not, gods of Indigar. But nevertheless, you will be avenged. So swears Thor of Asgard. I will finish what I started long ago, no matter the butcher's power, no matter where he runs, no matter how long it takes. Fly, Mjolnir, to Omnipotent City, to the halls of all-knowing. Fly with all the speed you can muster, for the longer we tarry, 'tis more gods who will suffer." And we'd shift for the last panel back to where Thor fell in Russia. Remember, Thor is falling out of the sky, and we see that he has hit the ground. And he's laying in this, like, crater, and his axe is sitting there in the snow, and see shadow of, I don't know if it's a person or what, kind of looming up. And Thor looks to be unconscious. We know he's not dead, because if we were dead, we'd have no future Thor. And that is to be continued. So, yeah, I'm digging this. Like I said last time, this is being told in a really cool way, and it's different from other stuff that we've seen. I mean, one of the reasons why I've decided to continue getting this book, you know, buying the actual physical issue every month, is because it's so cool and because of the way the story is being told. And, you know, maybe waiting for the trade would have been cheaper, but I like to support good comics. It's one of the reasons why I buy the comics that I do. I don't buy very many comics anymore. I'm not nearly as big a collector as I used to be. But I really am liking this work by Jason Aaron. I think he's got a real knack for telling a good story. Like I said, we'll see if he can pull it out and continue with this, because this is a hard gig to follow. This is not something that is going to come naturally to most storytellers. And I'm liking it. The artwork by Esad Remick, every bit as good as it was last issue. I have to say, though, you know, I don't like the design of this Gore character, this God Slayer guy and his shadow thong. It reminds me a little bit, though, of another Marvel character. I believe her name was, what, Darkstar? And interestingly enough, she was Russian. So I wonder if there's a connection here between this battle over Russia with this God Killer dude and the Dark Force that she used to wield. It would be really cool if Marvel were to make that connection, but somehow I don't actually see that as happening. But it would be interesting. I'm trying to remember what book she was in, because it has been so long. I think it was The Champions. This was way, way back in the 70s, and I'm pretty sure that this was a character in the Champions series way back, which is a weird superhero book from the 70s. You ever get a chance, check that out. It is a book that was created so that, you know, Hercules and Ghost Rider would have a superhero group to belong to, which, of course, doesn't make any sense at all. And, of course, the concept didn't go anywhere. But it was notable in that John Byrne made some of his very early Marvel appearances as an artist in the last few issues of The Champions. Anyway, but they had this thing called the Dark Force. And I believe that this is connected with, like, Cloak and Dagger and some of these other characters. But this operates in a very similar way, which makes me wonder if this is tied in with this Dark Force that we had in those old issues of The Champions and elsewhere. If anybody has any thoughts on that, any insight, I would love to hear it. Because, you know, like I said, I'm kind of out of the loop as far as the Marvel Universe goes. Now, of course, this Marvel New 52 / Marvel Now thing that they got going on, that's going to be a little bit different. I understand the rules might have changed in this new universe, and there's going to be some differences. We've already seen some differences. So anyway, if you have any feedback, you know, hey, we have a Facebook group. Feel free to join us there. And, of course, you can email us at radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign off for now. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard.